We're going to get started, and we're going to be resuming where we were at a couple weeks back. If you're joining us right now on the live stream or watching this after the fact, if you go to gracelifebiblechurch.com, you can scroll down under Recent Sermons, click the link for January 4, and you can load the notes and follow along with us as we go through this material. So you guys should have in front of you a set of notes for Lesson 272, Assessing the Printed History of the King James Text. PCE, Pure Cambridge Edition, Tenets and First Public Articulation. Okay, I retitled it slightly for the internet just because I only have 100 characters to title stuff on YouTube. So I think I said something like PCE, Tenets and First Public and Public Awareness or something like that on the live stream. So Lesson 272, 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the Pure Cambridge Edition position, the PCE position. And we're going to be continuing with that here again this morning. So let's get right into the introduction. In Lesson 271, we examine the historical development of Protestant bibliology, current trends within King James Bible advocacy, and the foundational assertions of the Pure Cambridge PCE position. We observe that the PCE claim goes beyond mere editorial preference, presenting itself as the final, pure, and definitive form of the authorized version, a view grounded in theological, doctrinal, and historical arguments. So all we did was scratch the surface to an understanding of what the Pure Cambridge position is. All told, we consider the following points in Lesson 271. Number one, we looked at the historical context. The lesson reviewed the development of Protestant bibliology, emphasizing the doctrine of preservation and how debates over verbatim identicality have shaped opposing positions within King James Bible advocacy. Second, we looked at the current King James Bible advocacy landscape, and we highlighted the diversity of views among King James Bible defenders, from extreme 1611ism, which treats every element of the 1611 edition as inspired. We talked about that. Nate and I have done a series on that. To the Pure Cambridge position, which claims a circa 1900 Cambridge printing is the only, quote, perfect edition. Thirdly, we looked at the PCE position. The PCE position, The PCE position asserts a final purification of the King James Bible occurred around 1900. The PCE is the definitive, pure, and historically received text of the authorized version. Any deviation from the PCE, even other Cambridge editions, is considered a departure from the pure text. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And then just a key observation here is that the PCE position is not merely an editorial preference. So it's not just that somebody thinks that these some odd readings are the correct readings. It's more than that. It's not just merely an editorial preference. It's built upon layers of doctrine, theological, and historical arguments, making it an exclusive advocacy stance rather than a simple choice of edition. Okay, and now, again, we are gathering those conclusions from the statements that are made by its primary supporter, propagator, if you will. Okay. Now, these are not just propagandist techniques. These are statements that are gleaned from what this guy has to say, what Matthew Vischer has to say, okay? So in this lesson, we want to move forward with unpacking and understanding the PCE position, and I want to look at two main points. Number one, I want to look at some of the main tenets of the position, and then I want to look at its first articulation and public dissemination of the PCE as a position, okay? So that's generally what we're going to be looking at. Another note here, unless otherwise noted, all the citations in this lesson are taken from the guide to the PCE and the following pagination in the PDF, follow the pagination in the PDF document. So unless I tell you otherwise, every quote is from the guide to the Pure Cambridge edition. And again, that is this document right here. In its sixth draft guide to the Pure Cambridge edition, this is available on the Bible Protector website. And so we are using this as a flagship enunciation of the position, and then we'll look at some other things later up, further on down the line, that he says in some of his other resources. Okay, so we're taking the Pure Cambridge, the guide to the PCE, as the base level, and so once we've understood some of the stuff that's in there, then we'll move on to looking at some other things. Okay, and I got a disclaimer here again. I've expanded it slightly, but I just want to say again, okay, Brother Matthew Brashear, Bible protector out of Australia, he is a King James advocate, okay? And I appreciate that. I appreciate all King James advocates, even though there are things that are said that I don't agree with, okay? So my disclaimer is that if the PCE position was just a personal preference belief that the circa 1900 Cambridge text was slash is the most accurately printed text of the King James Bible, I would not have a problem with it. So if it was just a recommendation, just a preference, just I think this one is the one that is the most accurate printing, okay, fine. You can think that if you want to. Gail Ripplinger thinks something else. Other people think that's no skin off my back, really, if that's all it is. All right. Unfortunately, however, the PCE position, as enunciated by Matthew Brashear, is much more than mere editorial preference. It is an exclusive King James Bible edition advocacy position that is built upon layers of doctrinal, philosophical, theological, and historical strata that need to be unpacked and understood. This is borne out by his written works, YouTube videos, and comments on the Texas Receptus Academy Facebook page. My decision to include extended coverage of the PCE position in this class is consistent with the overall theme of the class to enunciate a position on the King James Bible that begins with faith-based presuppositions and does not deny the facts of history or break the laws of logic. So we're not interested in adopting positions that cannot be supported, okay? And yes, I spent a lot of time, nearly 60 lessons, going through my faith-based presuppositions and the doctrines of inspiration and preservation, okay? So this is what we've been trying to do throughout the duration, of this class. Our summary of the printed history of the text, that's been the last number of lessons, has been a prolonged case study in why verbatim identicality of wording is not a tenable position. And that's what we've been looking at now for at least a year, okay? So, before we get into point number one, does anybody have any comments, questions, or anything regarding the introduction? No? All right. So, if there are no comments or questions, we're on page, two, right?
Yes.
And we're going to get into my first main point, which is main tenets of the PCE position. So, the following citations from the Guide to the Pure Cambridge Edition clearly enumerate the tenets of the PCE position. Quote number one, the Pure Cambridge Edition is the historically received true text of the Authorized Version. Page 6. So that's a quote from page 6 of the Guide to the PCE. Okay?
What do you think they mean by historically received?
Pardon me, I got a hold of my nose. It's a great question, Mike. I think he means it's historically received that this particular circa 1900 Cambridge edition is the received final version or edit or edition of the Authorized Version.
Passed down through the various editions.
It's unclear to me exactly what he means, but
it's hard not to read into it because you could read in, was it Pickering's? No. Who was the guy who had the identity? Well, Pickering had the identity of the New Testament.
That's Pickering, right? Well, yeah.
Didn't he have the identifying marks and what is historically accepted by the church?
He had that. Well, he talks about that, and so does Jim Taylor in Defense of the Textus Receptus. And there's been a number of authors that have included within their framework an identification of what the church has received historically.
So that's how I want to read into it. I don't know if that's what he intends to say, but I want to read into it that the church has historically accepted this.
So if he left it at the church has historically received the Authorized Version, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But that's not what it says. It says the Pure Cambridge Edition is the historically received true text of the Authorized Version. Since when? Okay, and as we're going to see later in the lesson, no one even knew about this position. It wasn't even a position until the first decade of the 21st century. So I'm not sure how it could be historically received in this sense that Nate's referring to. Does that make sense, Mike? Okay, so Let's read it again. The Pure Cambridge Edition is historically received true text of the Authorized Version. This is one of the most direct affirmations of the PCE status as the definitive edition. The language implies exclusivity. It suggests that only the PCE is considered the authentic, pure Word of God in English. By calling it the true text, proponents of this position logically effectively rule out other non-PCE editions, such as other Cambridge, Oxford, or American printings, from being regarded as equally pure or authoritative. In other words, according to this view, non-PCE editions may still be considered Bibles or useful, but they are not seen as the perfectly preserved Word of God. The PCE is elevated as the singular standard for purity and authenticity. This is a key point of controversy because it moves beyond general King James Version onlyism into a specific edition only stance. Does everybody see that? So if you adopt this, there's logical conclusions to saying this. Now, Brother Verschuer doesn't seem to want to deal with the logical conclusions of his statements, and he wants to try to explain away why things don't lead to these conclusions, but these conclusions are inescapable. So if anyone has anything they want to interject, stop me. If not, I'm going to move on to the next quote. This is from page 122. The Pure Cambridge Edition was the last and final gathering of words, answering exactly to the heavenly volume of the book. Okay? This links the PCE to divine fulfillment and heavenly authority. This phrase suggests that the PCE corresponds perfectly to an ideal or eternally heavenly original, the concept that God's words exist in heaven in perfect form, based on passages like Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." This claim is that the PCE matches that divine standard on earth. In short, this language elevates the PCE beyond just being a historically refined edition. It portrays it as the final divinely aligned representation of God's word in English, implying no further changes are needed or permissible. And I would also say that what does that by logical default say about any edition before the PCE? That it does not do what? Align with the heavenly edition. Okay?
Right. So this is an argument of no consequence, right? Because we don't know what that heavenly book is because nobody's ever seen it. And so to say that the PCE is identical to that thing that no one's seen, how do you falsify that, or how do you verify that? And
yep.
It seems to me that this is completely non-falsifiable and non-verifiable.
In that sense, it's not much different from how do the critics know that they've reconstructed the original, which
right.
They've never seen.
Essentially, it's the same problem that the critical text advocates have.
Okay, next one. The Pure Cambridge Edition is the exact, correct, and perfect text and translation of God's words in English, page 188. No other edition matches the PCE in purity and perfection. This statement is the strongest possible expression of the Pure Cambridge position. Here is what it means. Exact. Every word, spelling, and punctuation in the PCE is claimed to be precisely correct, with no errors or deviations from what God intended. Correct. It asserts that the PCE is not just accurate in a general sense, but fully aligned with the truth of God's word doctrinally and linguistically. So it's not just an accurate representation of God's word in English. Okay? Third, perfect. This goes beyond correctness to claim absolute completeness and flawlessness. According to this view, the PCE is the final authoritative English Bible, needing no further revision or correction. And then text and translation. The statement covers both the wording text and the rendering from the original language's translation, implying that the PCE perfectly represents the inspired originals in English. Okay? So in short, this language elevates the PCE as the ultimate divinely preserved standard of God's word in English, exclusive, final, and without error. Even though Verschuer will not acknowledge it, it excludes all other editions, including the 1611, from being considered equally perfect or what? Pure or what? So in other words, you can't say this stuff and there not be logical implications for what you're saying. Okay? Any comments or questions there before we move on to the next one?
The first Bible was what? Hebrew?
The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew and some places Chaldean.
Well, I mean,
the Old Testament.
This guy is saying that he took that from that perfectly, because that would be almost the perfect Bible, wouldn't it be? Well, for English. I mean, not for.
I guess I'm not following what you're saying.
If they copy it right from the Hebrew, you know, in the English form, that's what I'm thinking that would be a perfect Bible. If they would, because that's.
What would be a perfect Bible would be a Bible that is in substantive agreement with what God inspired.
Right. And that first
okay.
Bible was.
What he's saying though is no, it has to be have all this spelling, all this punctuation, everything, jot and tittle has to correspond to the PCE edition, or it's. It's the logical conclusion would be then that anything that doesn't match exactly would in some way be inferior to the PCE. Now, he balks at that conclusion. He says, that's not what I'm saying. You're misrepresenting me. Yada, yada, yada. I'm saying you can't make statements like this and have them not lead logically to these conclusions. Okay? Next one from page 240. God's word was pure in heaven. This is a quote from page 240. God's word was pure in heaven and was available in the past. But the complete purification of the Word of God, for it to be in one place at one time in purity, was finally manifested in the appearance of the pure Cambridge edition. Yeah, wow. Okay, this ties the PCE to the alleged prophetic purification process described in Psalm 12:6. The statement claims that although God's words have always been pure in heaven and accessible on earth, the PCE represents the first and only time that purity was finally realized in a single definitive English edition. Okay? And then also from page 244, the pure Cambridge edition makes a definitive end to revisions. Brochure claims that the PCE is the final iteration of the King James Bible. Okay? So let me just read this part and then we'll take some questions. Matthew Brochure makes it clear in his guide that any edition of the King James Bible that is not the PCE is considered imperfect and incapable of fully conveying the exact sense of Scripture. While he does not use the word corrupt in the same way he applies it to modern versions, he does describe the PCE in such a way that logically implies that non-PCE editions are impure, incomplete, or incorrect. Look at the next quote. Quote, this is from page 119. Other diverse words may have come or may yet come, but there is one received word which has all the power above it, as concerning its coming presence and its work in the heart of the believer. The logic of faith honestly leads to the King James Bible. Now again, if you stop there, I probably don't have too much issue with that, but that's not where it stops. And most especially, is there something more unique, distinct, and special now? Okay, and most especially to one particular edition of it as the standard, the pure Cambridge edition. It is this maximum certainty, along with the signs of its providence without and divine authentication found within, that this should be so. In the study of the phenomenon of the Word of God, it is foundational, that the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible be taken as the Bible, which is to be studied, examined, and analyzed. So, look, guys, the logical implication of that statement is that anything that's not a PCE isn't the Bible. Okay? From this decision of faith, the proper representation of the Bible must be found to be self-authenticating and have the signs of the divine stamp upon it, both internally and externally. Thus, it is consistent that the Holy Ghost is moving. Now, watch this statement. The Holy Ghost is moving exactly according to the Pure Cambridge Edition, and that he has moved the Pure Cambridge Edition exactly to where it is according to God's will. Since the Bible, that is, the Pure Cambridge Edition, as its proper representative, proclaims to be God's Word, the truth, and pure, it should follow that the Pure Cambridge Edition is indeed God's Word, the truth, and what? Pure. Okay? Now, this statement is a theological argument that elevates the PCE as the singular, divinely authenticated form of God's Word in English. According to the PCE position, if taken to its logical conclusion, any King James Bible edition that does not match the PCE exactly would be considered less than perfect, and therefore, by their definition, not fully pure, complete, or what? Correct. The PCE is claimed to be the final, exact, and perfect text of God's Word in English. This exclusivity means that even minor differences, such as spelling, show the old way, S-E-W, versus show, punctuation or wording, would make other editions fall short of the PCE standard. This is why Verschoor claims that the PCE is the edition that ought to be what?
Studied.
Okay? So we'll stop there. Any comments or questions?
I just wanted to make note of that first paragraph at the top of page 4, right at the end, where it says, along with the signs of providence without and the divine authentication within, just because I think that'll come up later.
Okay. What do you make of the claim that In that second paragraph, top of page 4, in the study of the phenomenon of the Word of God as foundational to the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible, be taken as the Bible?
Right. So it already has in its name the Pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible. So you have generally a Bible there, but then the Pure Cambridge is to be taken as the, capital T, definite article, the Bible. So yeah, I mean, grammatically there's implication.
Yeah.
This is somehow superior to all other things. This is the premier Bible, and everything else is sub that.
Including non-PC editions of the King James.
Correct.
So, bottom of page 4. While some advocates might still call other non-PC editions of the King James Bible the Word of God, they would not regard them as the pure or final form. So in this framework, the PC equals pure, complete, correct. Non-PC editions equal good, but not what?
Perfect,
and therefore not the ultimate what?
Standard.
Okay, yeah.
He makes all these claims. Does he ever present why? I mean, just because he said.
I mean, he makes some arguments, yes, and we're getting to those. But in order to fairly evaluate the position, we first have to understand what are the claims that are being made. And that's kind of the phase that we're in right now. Okay.
He even goes beyond just his belief that that's the correct Bible, but he goes beyond knowing what God wants, his will.
Correct.
Because he says the Holy Ghost is moving exactly according to the Pure Cambridge Edition, and he has moved the Pure Cambridge Edition exactly to where it is according to God's will. That's a pretty powerful statement.
So in other words, when you read that statement, do you not get the implication that God's only moving according to the PCE?
Yeah, correct.
Now, it doesn't say that exactly like that, but what it does say implies that 100%.
Right.
Okay.
And he knows it. I mean,
but that's and I think Liam's onto a huge point. I speak for God.
He's the one that knows all this information.
So in that sense, there's not a ton of, and, you know, look, I already know, just in full transparency, I told you what would happen. He wrote a blog article based on the last lesson and recorded almost 4 hours of stuff, video. So he's going to watch this and he's going to, you know, what's that? I'll send you the links. You can listen to what he's got to say if you want, and I'll gladly send it to anybody. But the statements are the statements. Like if you don't want people to think this is what you're saying, then you need to say it different, because everyone can read what you said and understand what you're implying.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not American, right?
No. Australian.
Which is more English than it is. Like
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, they tend to be more traditionally English than we do in the United States.
That's why the spellings that he's talking about, the, you know, like show and that. Well, yeah, they still do probably spell it that way over in England, whatever. I don't know if they do or not. But here, we spell it our way, Americanized.
Right. So it's
that's just being nitpicky.
Let's get the bottom of page 4.
Yeah, but you haven't talked to God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He says,
"That's not how I did it." Yeah, this guy thinks he's.
You have no like.
I think he looks like he's a Paul.
It's hard for me to. So, I read this and I have the same conclusions, but he's got explanations for why he's not relying on any like special knowledge outside of just general history and his PCE, okay? But we'll get to all that, all right? Bottom of page 4. For all the King James Bible people concerned about which wording is correct in the Authorized Version, it is generally attested to or tacitly accepted that the readings of the Pure Cambridge Edition are the correct ones. That's... Just think about that. There certainly... has not been a pure standard stand for any pure text stand for any other edition. Okay, but I already showed you that Gail Riblinger doesn't agree with them. There's other King James advocates that don't agree that it's the PCE. So who are these people that are, you know, tacitly admitting this, etc.? Now, I know there are people who have read Bible Protectors material and have signed on the dotted line, so they might say this. But it's certainly not the majority of King James advocates that are willing to, you know, say this. So let's look at a couple statements here. This statement captures the following concepts. First, among people who care deeply about the exact wording of the King James Bible, King James only advocates, there is a widespread assumption, either explicitly stated or silently agreed upon, that the readings found in the pure PCE are the correct ones. In other words, when disputes arise over when a word should be spirit lowercase s or spirit capital S or show S-E-W or show S-H-O-W, most people default to the PCE as the standard. Who are these people that Vishur is referring to, and what are they really admitting? For example, I might think the PCE as a King James Bible contains all the necessary readings and is substantively the same as other King James Bibles and therefore is the Word of God. However, I do not mean that it needs to have particular spellings in order to have, quote, the correct readings. This seems like a very vague statement that assumes too much. Anybody commenting there? Second, the claim that there is no other edition of the King James Version that has been formally or widely defended as the one pure authoritative text, while many editions exist, non-PCE, Cambridge, Oxford American, 1611 facsimiles, etc., none have been elevated to the same exclusive status as the PCE. This reinforces the idea that the PCE is unique in being treated as the definitive form of the Authorized Version.
Yeah, but who's raising it to that? He gave it the name pure.
He
didn't have that in Herbert's catalog.
he is naming it. I'll show you that in the next thing. So he's the one that's doing this. He's christening this to be the case. And then he published it online, and then people read what he said from 2007 on, and did some people start to agree that this is the correct one? Okay?
You know what it reminds me of? When Horton Westcott came out with their new text and then the new theory to support the text that they came out with?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be too uncharitable, but like there are similarities, right? Because he's come to a conclusion, and then he's got to develop a position to support the conclusion. Okay.
So concerned about upper and lower case and all that. Okay, I guarantee you there was an upper and lower case in the words that Christ gave Paul. It was in the Hebrew. I mean, they didn't have upper and lower case stuff.
And then he says on page, do we read even in the 20th century? Do we read that?
Not yet.
Even in the 20th century, when the Pure Cambridge Edition was available, many people professing to stand for the King James Bible did not know about or stand for the acknowledging of the exactly pure word. So it's in the 20th century, the PCE is available because it was printed by Cambridge circa 1900, but nobody knew. So they couldn't stand for what they don't want.
No.
And then look at the next one. Any true Christian needs to forsake all other fake Bibles, false Bibles, excuse me, which God can use to only a small degree, and take the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible as the exact Word of God. So would false Bibles include in that statement other editions of the King James? He's specifying the certain edition, okay? So what constitutes a false Bible, and what is the definition of such? Does this include non-PC editions of the King James, or just modern versions? He doesn't say, okay? So bottom of the page, page 5. Brochure does not claim that non-PCE King James editions are as corrupt as modern versions, but he does assert that they are not fully pure and therefore cannot provide the exact sense of Scripture. See Brochure's Glistering Truths, Distinctions in Bible Words, the cover, and page 3. The PCE is presented as the only edition that is exact, perfect, and fully purified. These statements show that Brochure views the PCE as the only edition that fully conforms to the divine standard, not just in meaning, but in every detail, what he calls exact, correct, and what? Perfect. Many King James Bibles, even other Cambridge editions, contain typographical, orthographic, or editorial variations. Brochure claims these subtle changes compromise the purity and accuracy of God's Word. The following is a list of readings to determine whether one has a PCE from page 18 of the guide. Quote, "It is important to have the correct, perfect, and final text of the King James Bible. Since there are correctors, example, publishers, who have changed some aspects of King James Bible texts, the final form of the King James Bible in the PCE edition circa 1900, which conforms to the following." So it's going to have, in Joshua 19:2, it's going to have "or Sheba," not "and Sheba." In 2 Chronicles 33:19, it's going to say "sin," not "sins." In Job 33:4, it's going to have capital S on the Spirit of God. In Jeremiah 34:19, it will say "whom ye," not "whom he." Ezekiel 11:24 will have capital on the Spirit of God. Nahum 3:16, it will say "flieth," not "fleeth." Matthew 4:1, it'll have capital S on Spirit. Matthew 26:39, it will have "further," not "farther." Matthew 26:73, it will have "bereath," not "betrayeth." Mark 1:12 will have capital S on Spirit, and lowercase s on Spirit, and Acts 11:28, and 1 John 5:8. And then it says underneath that, "the guardians of the pure Cambridge edition." So we'll get to the guardians thing in a minute. Okay. So if it does not match these, what is it, 12 or 13 here, readings, then it's not what? It's not perfect. Okay? So just a couple points then at the bottom of page 6. How does Brochure know this list is complete? Could there be other changes that could be significant according to his argument? How can one be sure? Okay, so there's an element here that you just sort of have to take his what?
His opinion.
His word for it.
According to his argument, it has to be every punctuation, every letter, jot tittle. So, I mean, unless you're going to collate every edition of the Cambridge around that time period to every jot, every tittle, every letter, there's no way that's a complete list.
Well, I could question the completeness of the list too, but that's just the way he's representing it, okay? So, any King James edition that does not cohere with these editorial standards is not, quote, exact, correct, and what?
Perfect.
So, if yours says fleeth instead of flieth, if yours says farther instead of further, it cannot convey the exact sense. Okay? Bottom of the page. If the PCE position is taken to its logical conclusion, it would rule out the 1611 edition itself from being considered the pure Word of God. The position asserts that the PCE is the true, historically received text of the authorized version. This means it is tied to a specific later printing from circa 1900. And you'll notice so far that he's not identified exactly what year. Everything has been circa 1900. That is me quoting him. That is the way he is saying it. Later on, we'll look at some other stuff that he said more recently about that. Okay? So let me read that sentence again. This means purity is tied to a specific later printing from circa 1900, not the original 1611 edition. The 1611 edition contains spelling, typographical, and even wording differences compared to the PCE. Advocates often argue that these differences reflect human infirmity or printing errors corrected over time. Therefore, under the PCE view, the 1611 is important historically. Okay? He will say that it is pure regarding its text, okay, or its translation. But then he's going to advocate for a second level of purity in its editorial presentation. Okay? So advocates often argue that these differences reflect human infirmity or printing errors corrected over time. Therefore, under the PCE view, the 1611 is important historically, but not the final perfect form. The PCE is seen as the culmination of providential preservation. This is a major theological implication. It shifts the concept of purity from the original translator's work to a later editorial what? Standard. Okay? So, got about 25 minutes to get the next point. Does anybody have any quick questions or comments about the basic tenets section? You good? Mike, you don't seem good.
He's a good marketing guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like old marketing, doesn't it?
It's compared to a lot of marketing that we see these days. Gross exaggeration.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the marketing they used to do with the old printed texts, when colleges would try to market their own printing.
Yeah, I mean, you mean like Cambridge versus Oxford?
They would advertise their printing.
All right, so let's talk then about my second point, which is first articulation and public dissemination of the position. Okay, so according to Verschuer's guide, the PCE position as a distinct, fully developed textual stance / position was first enunciated and formulated by Verschuer himself in the early 2000s. Consider the following timeline. So this timeline is extracted directly from the guide to the PCE, which is, again, this document right here. Okay? So, April 2001, Verschuer stated a case for a correct edition to his church leaders, identifying what he came to call the Pure Cambridge Edition. Quoting now from the document. On April 4, 2001, I then stated to the elders of Victory Faith Center a case in favor of this, which was when I fully recognized the correct edition. I then came to understand the meaning of the word spirit with a lowercase s and its connection to proper Pentecostal doctrine, namely that the spirit is to work in the human spirit, such a Christian sanctification and the impartation of knowledge as well as his Pentecostal filling of it. So, one of the reasons why the PC is the correct one is based upon his Pentecostal doctrinal interpretation. You cannot escape this. Okay? You cannot escape this. Remember what Gail Ripplinger said in what I quoted last week, that Verschuer has done some good work, that he's an earnest guy, etc., but that his position is affected by his Pentecostal doctrine. Interesting to note the stated reason he accepted the PCE as perfect because of the lowercase s aligned with his Pentecostal theology, even though he vehemently rejects our stating that his position is founded on historicist interpretations of Revelation and Pentecostal theology. So, Nate and I have gone back and forth with him a little bit on some of this. Okay, so why would somebody think that Pentecostal doctrine is influencing his editorial preference? Because he said it right there. Like, I didn't just dream it up one day because I had too many pepperonis on my pizza. Okay? 2001, end of April, Verschuer had written an initial treatise titled The Changes Within the Authorized Version of the Holy Bible in Defense of the Pure Edition. Quote, by the end of April 2001, I had written an initial short treatise on the changes within the authorized version of the Holy Bible in a defense of the pure edition. It was God, this is him saying, who by his divine providence led me to believe and now promote the exact right text of the King James Bible, which we can call the pure Cambridge edition. It took months to clarify the authority, gathered proofs, wrote short explanatory works, and consolidated my thinking in discussions and letters with Pastor Savage. Okay? So, God providentially showed Brochure the PCE position, who then sought to build a position. Notice the order. He did not say, I set out to study the history and doctrine and became convinced of this. Instead, he essentially said, I became convinced of this by divine leading and Pentecostal doctrine. Then I set about to prove it and build a position. Now, is that me being unfair and uncharitable or misrepresenting what he said?
Nope. That's what he said.
Okay. 2002, May 1st. Brochure and Pastor Craig Savage discussed producing a major work on the PCE and its standardization. Quote, we saw the necessity of the promulgation of this message, and we spoke of producing a work on the subject on May 1st, 2022. Since we are in a position where the pure Bible is available to us and have the added hindsight of Scrivener, Hills, and others, the body of information available to us is enough for us to present a major work on the standard English Bible. When I say this, I do not mean a work on the King James Bible in general, but rather that highly important area of which King James Bible is the right one. Stop there. He says it's which one? The PCE. So that would make the other ones the wrong one. Dissertation on a pure, perfect King James Bible. Pastor Savage replied, quote, I agree that we should do a major work on the standard English Bible. I accept this as a project that is applicable to our mission. Late 2022, Brochure began writing what became the full-length guide to the Pure Cambridge Edition. Quote, what did I say? Sorry.
Very recent.
2002.
Yeah.
My bad. It's my Freudian.
On that in his next article.
What's that?
He's going to have a heyday in his article.
Yeah, because I misread the date. So, late 2002, Brochure began writing what became the full-length guide to the Pure Cambridge Edition. Quote, in the last months of 2002, I began to write this work. What I aimed to do was to show the history of the Scripture to the King James Bible, and then the history of the King James Bible leading to the Pure Cambridge Edition. I especially wanted to show that the Pure Cambridge Edition was supreme and exactly what? Correct. It's from page 11. So this makes 2001, 2002 the formal starting point for the PCE position as is defined as a defined and distinct view, while the PCE text itself dates from circa 1900, according to the Pure Cambridge position. So it came into existence circa 1900, but nobody knew about it until after the year 2000. You following that? Okay? Brochure's argument for the PCE as a divinely preserved edition, distinct from all others, begins with his writings in the early 21st century. So nobody knows until he starts to write that this one from circa 1900 is the pure standard as he has asserted it.
Well, who wrote that one? They don't know.
He doesn't even know for sure who the editors are. We'll get into all that later. Okay, so you guys are getting ahead of me, which is good. It means you're tracking with me, but... So the first public dissemination of the PCE position outside Victory Faith Center likely occurred between 2002 and 2005, with the early versions of the Guide to the PCE and online materials posted on the Bible Protector website. Here is a complete timeline of the history and public promotion of the Pure Cambridge Edition position based on Brochure's Guide to the PCE. So, let's back up. So it was between 2001, 2002, where he and the pastor of Victory Faith Center are working all of this out. Okay? Starting in 2005, they begin to make public statements and declarations and release information about this. Okay? So December 2005, the elders of Victory Faith Center declare themselves the guardians of the PCE. Quote, at the turn of the year from the end of December 2005, the elders of Victory Faith Center recognized that we were the guardians of the Pure Cambridge Edition. That is quite a statement. Okay? So, they recognized themselves as the guardians of the PCE. So, understand, before this, nobody knew the PCE wasn't even a position. Nobody made a stance for what he's going to be arguing for. And then, before this point, and so they identify this, and then they declare themselves to be the guardians of it. Okay?
Well, it was only when God, by his divine providence, led him to believe it.
Well, you're getting ahead of me. Yeah, well, yeah, but look at the next point. Elsewhere, Verschoor stated, the elders of Victory Faith Center, in their providentially appointed role as the guardians of the Pure Cambridge Edition, have identified the exactly correct text of the Pure Cambridge Edition. The revelation of this is accepted by various sincere Christians around the world, and that's from There Is Only One Pure Edition of the King James Bible. Okay. So,
wow.
Did anybody know about this until they reveal it? Does God providentially reveal to the to elders of Victory Faith Center that they're the guardians of the PCE?
Whatever all the Pentecostals in circa 1900
yeah,
write about the PCE.
Yeah, we're, I don't know where they were.
No, it's not based on any Pentecostal.
But it's not. But the position, he's adamant that the position is not based on any special Pentecostal doctrine.
Or providence.
You know, but yet you have statements like that. And again, so why do people think that he is claiming that this was revealed to him? It's because of statements like that that I just quoted. Okay, so nobody knew this until these guys what? Uncover it, reveal it, and make it known, and declare themselves the guardians of it. Okay? 2006 July, the first electronic draft of the PCE was finalized for internet publication. Quote, in July 2006, the electronic file was finalized and formatted in preparation for publishing on the internet. A particularly beneficial meeting concerning the definitive text and resolving any differences found in various presentations of the Pure Cambridge Edition was held on Sunday, July 9, 2006, where Pastor Craig Savage said that since the traditional maintainers of the King James Bible text had now gone astray, that we must take up the responsibility of continuing it. At the very same time, various troubles were manifesting themselves against the Islamic cause, including a war by Israel and an earthquake. So, what does that mean to you?
Signs and wonders.
So our signs and wonders confirming the declaration of the elders of Victory Faith Center being the guardians of the PCE.
Back to page 4, it is this maximum certainty along with the signs of its providence without and the divine authentication found within.
Okay. So what an odd thing to note. This would not have anything to do with historicism, miracles, wonders, and signs, would it? Like, why are you noting that if that's not like part of your justification for why you're saying this? You see what I'm saying? If the PCE were just a preference, we think this one is the most accurately printed. Fine. Okay. Whatever. But is this going way beyond that? Okay. 2007, January. The Bible Protector website is launched online. The Bible Protector ministry began with the launching of a website and the sending out of the following statement. At the same time, a comment was seen on 26 January 2007, Australia Day, by Matthew Verschoor. Another strange statement, if you do not assume historicism and miracles. How else would you take these statements if not assuming his theological framework? Of course, then he goes on, of course, this is besides the fact that the Bible Protectorate website appeared in January 2007. So, based on Verschoor's own account in his guide, the PCE position did not exist as a widely knowable or public position outside of Victory Faith Center before 2007. Okay? Does everybody see why I'm saying that? He states that from 2000 to 2006, the research and development of the PCE position happened internally, primarily between himself and Pastor Craig Savage at Victory Faith Center. Second, the first public dissemination occurred in July 2006. It is unclear at this time whether it was published online immediately or not. Up to this point, though, July 2006, the position was discussed in private letters, treatises, and church meetings, but not in any public forum that I can discern. Okay? And then 26 January 2007, the Bible Protector website was launched. Right? So stop there. Any comments or questions before I get to these last couple points?
Yeah. I know you and I both have gone back and forth with him. I've gone back and forth with him online. And one of the things that I've accused him of and pushed him on was his claims of providence, his claims that God showed us, his claims that, you know, these signs and wonders are... He's basically claiming divine authority or invoking divine favor on his position without substantiating that in the text of Scripture or in actual historical data. And yeah, his response has been to me every time, number one, you're a modernist liberal, so you can't say anything to me, basically.
So it's basically ad hominem name calling.
Correct. Just call names and then tell me I don't understand, and that I'm misrepresenting him by saying that. And so, yeah, I do think it's very odd that he would include these external things like the upheaval in the Middle East and earthquakes and comets, which are all elements of the end of days in Revelation, which is the general historicist view that he does hold to theologically. What other reason would you possibly have for including those statements in your presentation of this position? It doesn't make any sense. Like, that doesn't make any historical sense. Like, it doesn't show a text that is more readable or something like that. The only thing I can think of is because of theological ideas that he holds. I don't know any other way to take those.
And I think when you read what he says in his own words, there's no getting around the fact that his doctrinal theological presuppositions are
driving
what he's saying here.
Right.
Okay? So, bottom of page 9. So, prior to 2007, the PCE position was essentially confined to Victory Faith Center and its immediate circle as it was being developed and discussed. Therefore, it was not a recognized or accessible doctrine/position within the broader King James Bible movement before 2007. Consequently, no King James Bible believer was even aware of the PCE position until 2007, when it was first published for public consumption. So in other words, no one up to this point had made this argument until he makes it, develops it, and starts propagating it on his website. And then what happens is people read his website, they read certain things on the website, they look at the list, they do some things, they make some comparisons, and then they become convinced that the PCE position is correct. I don't know how many people, but I'm assuming it's not a ton, have read the entire 570-page document before they decide whether they think the PCE is the correct view. So, can you embrace a PCE view without understanding the philosophical, doctrinal, and theological presuppositions of the PCE view. Yes, you could look at the list and say, okay, I agree that these 12, 13 readings or whatever, that these are the correct readings, that's the way they should be, and then you stop there. Okay, and that's just an opinion. When you go deeper into this, you realize that that list is determined by an entire substructure and strata of doctrinal and theological assumptions that are being made to support the conclusion at the top. Okay? So, this is not a position that anybody within King James Advocacy even knew about, much less argued for, before 2007. Now, that does not automatically make it wrong. Just because it's new, we're not going to engage in our own now logical fallacies, right? That doesn't make it wrong just because it's a relatively new position. Like, if there was good sound reasons for it, you know, I would consider entertaining it. The problem is, I can't go there because, you know, and the thing is, like, he'll say, well, as Nate has already alluded to, he'll say, well, Ross is a modernist and he believes in the historical grammatical method of interpretation, which is born out of modernism, and all these sorts of things. But, like, what's he doing? He's basing a model on historicist Pentecostal interpretation of Scripture. So, like, okay. Let's go to the conclusion. Any other thoughts or comments? I guess he's getting it from the Holy Spirit, and that it's confirmed in the guardians.
That comes out of the tongues. God said there's no more tongues.
You gotta look back in history. God told Muhammad, look what that turned into.
Yeah.
You know, God told Joseph Smith, look what that turned into. And, you know, God told it started. All of your, you know, Jehovah's Witness and all these other, you know,
Charles Taze Russell.
These are all revelations from God. All,
to me, that is a dangerous, slippery slope.
Because what I've come to believe is that there are no more. God doesn't talk to us. This is the only way that God talks to us.
I will be honest about my presuppositions. I am a dispensationalist. I am a cessationist dispensationalist that believes that the sign gifts have ceased for the dispensation of grace. This gentleman is not. He believes this is all continuing.
Right, but the claim then that your theology doesn't impact the way you view this issue is just stupid.
It's not.
It's not
accurate.
No, we have presupposition that obviously affects the way we look at this.
Correct.
And we have to step back and go, okay, look, I'm going to automatically scoff at him saying God showed me because I don't believe that's the way God works today because of my presuppositions. I have to be honest with that.
Yeah.
When we interact with him and he automatically just shuts it down and says, nope, my presuppositions have nothing to do with my position. Really?
Well, you can't
right.
You cannot have productive dialogue in that scenario. So let's look at the conclusion.
Wait a second. No, there's no earthquake, so that's okay.
Oh, we're good. We're good.
Look, I don't want to just mock him, okay? I don't want to mock and make fun and scoff. But at the same time, do we have to acknowledge that this is a very much a part of his interpretive framework and what he's saying? Okay.
Was that earthquake in Australia or was it in Israel?
It's not
just an earthquake.
Just an earthquake. No. He didn't. I don't recall him saying where.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
I had a lightning bolt come right after I stayed.
So again, if I could maybe even be persuaded, although I'm not going to say that I am. If somebody wants to say that these 12 edits are the best edits, okay, fine. But don't say, though, that if I'm not reading that one, I don't have the right one.
Yeah.
Or say things that logically lead to the conclusion that if I don't have that one, I don't have the right one.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
Okay? So, and then what's happened is that people have gone to this website, they've looked at this, and based upon a very cursory understanding, they've decided that the PCE is the best one. What I'm saying is when you look underneath the hood, there's a lot of stuff that when you look at how that conclusion was arrived at, should leave you to say, yeah, I don't think so. Or I'm not convinced. So the PCE position represents a highly exclusive and doctrinally charged stance within King James Bible advocacy. Unlike general King James Version onlyism, which affirms the King James Version broadly, The PCE claim elevates a specific early 20th century Cambridge printing as the singular, perfect, and divinely authenticated from God, let me start over, and divinely authenticated form, excuse me, of God's Word in English. Advocates assert that the PCE is not merely an editorial refinement, but the culmination of providential preservation, quote, exact, correct, and perfect, logically rendering all other editions, including the original 1611, as less than fully pure, a notion that Verschuer rejects. So he'll say, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what you are saying leads to that conclusion, logically. Okay. This position, first articulated by Matthew Verschuer in the early 2000s and disseminated publicly through the Bible Protector Ministry in 2007, shifts the debate from translation fidelity to edition exclusivity. Its theological implications are profound. Purity is no longer tied to the translator's work, but to a later editorial standard, making the PCE the definitive benchmark for those who embrace this view. Understanding this claim is essential for evaluating the broader landscape of King James Version advocacy and doctrinal reasoning behind edition-specific arguments. So, we are up against the clock. Technically, we're already a minute over. Next week, again, guys, I've decided to go down this route, so we're going to be fairly thorough in doing it. Okay? Because I don't want to misrepresent this person, and I'm quoting from his stuff. All right? Any comments or questions? Actually, we're going to have to take them as I pack up, because I got to stop the stream.